Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 10th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled "Hundreds of Flowers Bloom After Wind and Rain" by a practitioner from Anhui Province, China.
China Fahui, "Hundreds of Flowers Bloom After Wind and Rain" by a practitioner from Anhui Province, China. Greetings, revered master. Greetings, fellow practitioners. I would like to take this opportunity of the 10th China Fahui on Minghui.org to report my cultivation experiences to our great master and share them. I was fortunate to obtain the Fa in 1998, after the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, launched the persecution in 1999. The police and the local 610 office regarded me as a thorn, because I had tried to reason with them face-to-face in their offices. They frequently harassed me at home, creating difficulties for me and my family. Due to my human attachments, I gave in to the pressure and stopped cultivating in Dafa for 2 years. I returned to cultivation in 2002. Ever since then, I have melted into the current of Fa rectification, cherishing the Fa and cultivating solidly. I have taken Master's words very seriously. Quote, "Save all beings, return home, and don't slow your steps." End quote. A reading response from Hongyin 3. Trials and hardships. No one in my area was creating truth clarification flyers, posters, or DVDs to share with the public in 2002, and it was very difficult to obtain a handwritten copy of Master's new articles. I visited some veteran practitioners at our local market and asked them to help me establish the first material production site in our town. In the years that followed, I handled all aspects of the process, including operating the site, obtaining templates, purchasing supplies, as well as printing and distributing the materials. Funding the site was a constant issue, and the site had to be maintained secretly due to the threat of the persecution by the communist regime. Donations from practitioners were very limited. Although my family was not well-to-do, I often took money out of my limited savings behind my husband's back to keep the site going. Once I found 400 yuan on the street. Another time, my daughter won a raffle of 500 yuan. I used the money for truth clarification supplies without telling my family. Another challenge I had in running the site was picking up the truth clarification samples and purchasing supplies from the city, about 31 miles away from my home. I usually went to the city on my bicycle once a week. It took 4 hours to travel one way. When a large quantity of supplies were needed, I took my tricycle instead. I usually left home early in the morning and came back late at night. Whenever I went to the city, I never spent practitioners' money on myself. Seeing the hardships I had, some practitioners tried to help by giving me money and other items. I always refused to take them. I didn't buy a bun to eat nor hot tea to drink for quite a few years. When I felt thirsty, I went to the river to get water. When I was hungry, I tried to forbear it. I fed my grandson, who was several months old, with baby formula. When I ran out of baby food, I would beg for some leftover soup from the restaurant to feed him. Taking care of my infant grandson on those long, extra long days added to the time and money constraints. Sometimes I put up truth clarification stickers on the side of the road while reciting Hong Yin and Zhuan Falun. Harsh winds and baking sun, rainstorms, and flat tires were commonplace situations on those trips. Once my grandson got a sunburn on his head due to strong sunlight. It later grew into a huge blister. The Chinese New Year is a time of family reunions and gatherings with special dinners. On the eve of the 2007 Chinese New Year, I rode my tricycle loaded with supplies and my grandson in the back covered with a blanket. I didn't eat a grain of rice or drink a glass of water that day, but fearlessly continued on my way home in the freezing rain, snow, and ice. The experiences I encountered while en route were sometimes alarming. Accidents or bicycle breakdowns were commonplace occurrences. Once I spilled all of my truth clarification materials on the ground in front of a police officer. Feeling poised, I picked them up and calmly left the scene. I have taken over 300 round trips from my house to the city and traveled over 18,000 miles to pick up the supplies over a period of 6 years. I didn't spend a penny on myself. Although I drank river water and endured numerous hardships, I had no regrets at all. My heart was filled always with happiness and peace because I knew that assisting Master in Fa rectification is every practitioner's greatest wish. Breaking the snares. In the summer of 2008, I dreamt about taking an exam. The proctor's last name was Yang. He announced that the exam would last 45 minutes. 3 days later, I was illegally arrested by police and sent to a detention center. On the way to the detention center, I swore to Master, "Master, please be reassured. I won't tarnish the Fa." The guard who watched me had the surname Yang. When he asked me to recite the rules and regulations of the detention center, I didn't cooperate with him. Instead, I recited a poem from Hong Yin to him. Quote, "Dafa is what you carry everywhere. Jen Shan Ren, rooted in the mind. A great arhat walks the earth. Gods and demons fear with awe." End quote. Benevolent Might from Hong Yin. When he asked me more questions, I answered him by reciting more poems from Hong Yin or other Dafa passages. When he ordered two inmates to take a photo of me, I turned my head away from the camera. I used to have good health, but when they forced me to have a physical examination, the doctor said in shock, "Her blood pressure is 280 milligrams of mercury. Even a scientist wouldn't be able to count her heartbeat. She has to be hospitalized immediately." The guard replied, "Don't even think about it. She can't leave here till she dies." An official from the provincial government came in to interrogate me. When he asked me questions, I answered him by reciting Hong Yin and other Fa passages. He asked, "Do you still want to practice?" I replied, "Of course." I thought that he was not worthy of interrogating me, so I started sending forth righteous thoughts to eliminate the evil that controlled him. His cell phone started ringing. He left the room without getting any information from me. When I first entered the detention center, the head prisoner wanted to hit me. I shouted at her, "How dare you?" She held back her hand immediately. After that, no one dared to touch me. I told them what I was doing and clarified the facts of the persecution to them. After learning the truth, they decided to quit the CCP. My heart was filled with such joy that no words could describe it. Because I was illiterate, the inmates helped me write, "Fallen Dafa is good." All sent forth righteous thoughts and recited the Fa with me in the detention center. One elderly inmate's illness was healed by reciting, "Fallen Dafa is good." In order to thank me, she kept calling me Mom. I said, "Master Lee cured your illness. You should thank Master Lee. Since we are both in our 60s, you can call me Sister." She insisted, "I will thank Master Lee, but I also want to call you Mom." I truly felt that I was being looked after by Master. I often saw four enormous divine beings holding weapons and standing guard around me. I didn't know why they looked very angry, though. Under Master's care, I was finally released. However, the evil controlling the guard didn't give up so easily. When I was taken out to the gate, the guard asked me, "Will you still practice?" I replied, "Of course." He turned around and took me back to the cell. A few moments later, he brought me back to the gate and asked again, "Will you still practice?" I said, "Sure." He took me back to the cell again. When I was taken back to the gate, my husband, who had been waiting there for a while, started cursing at me. I whispered to the guard, "I won't practice." As soon as the words slipped out of my mouth, I felt a sensation throughout my body. I immediately tried to take back what I had just said by telling him loudly, "But that won't be possible." The 1 second slip caused permanent regret in my heart. Even to this day, I still have remorse inside for what I said to the guard. I was kept in the detention center for 45 days. When I got home, Master hinted to me that because I had been so busy running the material production site, I hadn't studied the Fa well. That was why I had gaps that could be taken advantage of by the evil. I now understood why the four divine beings guarding me had looked very angry. Little flowers blossom one after another. As more and more veteran practitioners and some newer but capable practitioners started coming out to clarify the truth to people, funds and manpower for the material production sites were also becoming more plentiful. I discussed with some practitioners who could handle security well the prospect of establishing more material production sites. With their consent, I helped them build additional sites. Everyone cooperated well together and paid close attention to security issues. Some practitioners were responsible for downloading templates from the internet. Others were assigned to print out the final materials for distribution. The rest burned truth clarification CDs, made amulets, etc. At the beginning of the project, I shared my experience with them, emphasizing the importance of Fa study and the improvement of our cultivation levels. In actual operation, I asked each site to establish a one-way communication with me. I was responsible for providing supplies to each site, so that ensured safety for them. This way, from the standpoint of the Fa and ordinary principles, we could prevent the communist regime from finding possible leaks or loopholes. Meanwhile, we ensured that the whole production line ran seamlessly, so the requirement for quality and quantity of the materials was met. We also helped some more remote towns to establish their own material sites. Under our direction, several young, energetic, and very steadfast veteran practitioners who worked out of town year-round also established material sites in other towns. The lead player. Gradually, more and more practitioners started coming to my house. Some came to pick up materials, some wanted to share their cultivation experiences, some came to recharge themselves, etc. I began to get a little confused. How could I go out to clarify the truth to people if so many practitioners kept coming to my house? Then I dreamed about forming a band with other practitioners. I was playing the arhu, which was new, and I was the lead player. When I woke up, I enlightened that I was in the lead position and must do my job well. A village cadre who had quit the CCP after learning the truth told me, "Some people from above will come to your house tomorrow. Make sure you get yourself prepared." As soon as I heard it, I hurriedly transferred the truth clarification materials in my home to a safe place. The next day, six officials from town and county came to my house. Some of them pretended to have a casual chat with me, while others searched my home. I tried to clarify the truth to them. I did all the talking while they listened. One of the officials asked, "Can you please stop being ruthless to the Communist Party?" I replied, "Falun Gong practitioners have never fought back when beaten, nor yelled back when cursed. The CCP has persecuted so many good people to death for their belief in truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. Who is being ruthless?" Before they left, they hypocritically asked me if I had any hardships. I told them, "The biggest problem I have is that you don't allow us to practice Falun Gong." They never returned. Fa rectification is nearing the end. I hope that all practitioners in China regard themselves as coordinators and melt themselves into the one body with their group, making it an indestructible iron wall and leaving no gaps for the evil communist regime to use. I also hope that all practitioners do their best in saving sentient beings and harmonizing to what Master wants. Thank you, Master. Thank you, fellow practitioners. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.